What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show, talking to Old Dominion Mouse coach Ricky Ronnie with me here on the Boss Man Show. I was telling him off air, I remember him visiting Vanderbilt. Now he's at ODU now. Coach, we'll talk to you, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Just finished practice number 12. So, you know, this thing, it jumps on you quick. Well, you know, you feel like you have all this time, and the next thing you know, the first game's 2 weeks away, you know, so it kind of jumps quick.
Now, Coach, now for you, man, Coach, it's your fourth year on the field, but fifth year been ODU. So let me ask you, man, how difficult was it getting that job in 19 and not being able to play with the COVID year and then trying to come back and recover and rebuild this thing after a year of not playing ball at all in 2020?
Yeah, it was one of those things that was probably harder while it was going on. And then looking back on it, it ended up being a little bit of a blessing, right? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I got to spend a lot of time with my family. I got to watch, you know, I got to watch a lot of football and those sort of things. But also we as a program got to focus a lot on fundamentals and that sort of thing because we didn't have an opponent to necessarily prepare for, right? So it wasn't about the wins and losses. It was about literally getting better each and every day and just kind of keeping the guys healthy, but keeping them involved in football and that sort of thing. So I think that, you know, in the end, it was a blessing. It was hard while it was going on. And I'm not going to lie, on those Saturdays, you know, it took I didn't really watch the games till the night games. I couldn't really those noon games, I couldn't bring myself to watch them. But, you know, it was an interesting time. And I think looking back on it, it ended up being a positive more than a negative.
No doubt. And for you, Coach, it's kind of building your program, building your culture. You know, you kind of got a free year to do that and setting the standards, what you want, how you want to practice, how you want to go to class, how you want to have nutrition off the field, how to do strength training. So talk about getting a kind of a free year to kind of get to feel things out by trial and error. And now you can really build on it now, knowing what you had that kind of year to build things and kind of see how it works.
Yeah. I mean, I think what it did give is it gave me a lot of freedom to make mistakes, right? As a head coach, I mean, the reality of it is, as a first-time head coach, you're going to make mistakes. And as great a job as Coach Franklin did in, you know, giving me insights to what it was to be a head coach, you don't really know until you do it, you know? And so I think there were, you know, I was able to make a lot of mistakes and then it didn't really cost us games or didn't, you know, that sort of thing. So it was great. And I think I look back on it and been able to build off of, you know, one thing I knew is I wanted to be genuine, right? I wanted to be myself and I wanted to, I'm a different person. I mean, I curse way more than I should. And I'm pretty honest with the kids and all those sort of things. So I realized that that's what I was better that way. And they respond better to that. And then when I was like trying to be the head coach, right. And the guy that everybody thinks is, you know, hey, this is how you're supposed to act. You know, when I was more myself, it ended up coming across. And I think I grew through that year. And I was able to see that a little bit from the guests.
And coach, for you, I'm gonna ask you this, man. And when did you decide you want to get into coaching? I know a lot of times when we play, man, we don't know what our next steps are. So for you, what gave you the bug to want to get into coaching and help impact young men's lives and be in our lives for 40, 50 years after playing for you?
Yeah, so I'll get back to that point too, because I have some thoughts on what you just said. But I went to Cornell. So I went to an Ivy League school and I'm from a very, very blue collar family. And so I had a lot of debt, right? So I'm like, man, I better go make some money and I got to pay this back and all that sort of stuff. So I got a real job for ended up being about 15 months. I had a real job in the corporate world and that sort of thing and a great company and all those sort of things. But my God, did I hate it. And I mean, every single day, the only thing I looked forward to was like, it was like flag football games I had, or like the softball games I had, or basketball, like whatever it was. And I took those way too serious and I was way too competitive during those. And I started to realize like, okay, I've got to do something else, you know? And my now wife was my girlfriend at the time. I remember her just saying to me one time, she's like, hey, like, you've got to do something else. Like, you're miserable and it's making everybody else miserable. And that was kind of a wake up call for me. And so then that's what got me into coaching. You know, you talked about, you know, helping young men and all those sort of things. My own personal opinion on this, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, hey, why do you coach? It's like, well, I want to help young people. Well, okay, I get that. And I want to help young people too. But if that was your only motivation, you'd probably be like a high school guidance counselor, right? Those people are needed, right? Or a police officer in inner city, right? I mean, you know, you were talking about Atlanta, like, man, they could use some police officers to help guide some young men, right? And the reality of it, you get into coaching for the football or for all those sort of things, and the helping young men is an awesome byproduct from it, right? You know what I'm trying to say? And that's where mine is. Like, I love ball and now I get to help kids and it's awesome. And the older I get, the more I understand my impact. I love getting wedding invites from guys. And I love, you know, all of a sudden guys are like, hey coach, you know, I want to get into coaching now and those sort of things. Like, that means a lot to me. But the reality of it is without the football, I wouldn't have that sort of passion. And then I wouldn't be able to help those young men reach that. So to me, it's like the X's and O's and all that sort of stuff kind of leads into that being able to help guys.
No doubt. And coach, like for me, you know, my dad was a coach, so I grew up around coaching my whole life. And I decided that, hey, I don't mind coaching some little kids, but I don't have the passion to do it on the level that my dad did, you know, you're doing it, or the NFL, because it's a little bit too much stress for me. I'd rather be on do the radio thing and coach kids with stress-free and not so stressful environment on the high school level, now in college level.
No doubt. And you know what? To be very honest with you, the reality of it is my little league coach, I still call him coach, right? You know what I mean? Like, my high school coach, I still call him coach. And those guys meant a lot to me, man. They did. They helped shape me, you know? And I mean, that's just the reality of it. And so I always tell people, like, we need little league coaches. Right? I mean, like, we need them. We need guys who want that and want to be able to shape people and those sort of things. I always get a little nervous because now I think sometimes those little league coaches, it's hard for them because all they ever think about is they're going to get yelled at. Like, you know, the mom's going to come and get me and all that sort of stuff. So things have changed a little bit where, I mean, I remember when my little league coach, my mom dropped me off and she gave the deuces and he was in charge of me for 4 hours. You know what I mean? Like, that was just the reality. And like, when then she'd come pick me up, I'd get in the car and that was it, you know? So I think it's at times have changed a little bit on that.
You know, Coach, my problem is not getting too technical because of what I know. It's like, so I'm going to keep it simple. Inside zone, outside zone, some power, some split zones. I'm trying not to go too deep with the kids. But it's hard because my dad's a coach. I played. So it's like, let's not give them too much and overload their little heads, you know?
No doubt. You still want them to play fast and all those sort of things. Yeah, I think about when I was a little league, I think we had like student body right, like a reverse off student body right and like a bomb off student body right. Those were like three plays, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's changed a little bit.
Nah, no doubt, man. And for you, Coach, man, the Sun Belt, man, is growing. It's one of the best group of five conferences out there, man, deep top to bottom. How cool is it competing in a league every Saturday where you know it's quality football top to bottom, man, and it's a tough out every week?
Yeah, I mean, last year we set literally a modern record. We had 11 one-score games last year, you know. We had multiple games. I think the final total was six that ended up the last play of the game truly, truly decided the game. And, you know, that's a credit to the Sun Belt. I mean, like, you know, I mean, every single game you play, you know, you better bring your best stuff because you have, I mean, every team is a great team. You know, every coach is good coaches. And so I love it. I mean, I think it's awesome. And you know, I mean, I think we play no hands down the best group of five conference, you know, and no disrespect to the other conferences and those sort of things. I think it's just when you look at week in and week out, I mean, I don't know if anybody looks at their schedule like, oh yeah, I got that one. Oh, that's a wrap. I don't think anybody, I don't think has a coach in the Sun Belt. I don't think you can do that. Each and every game is going to be, you know, a dogfight.
Yeah, you got 12 Bears, man. And non-conference schedule is like crazy. You got South Carolina, East Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Bowling Green, all tough outs before you even get into the Sun Belt play. So talk about, as you say, you're going to practice 12, just clear that. It is how you trying to get these guys ready, be fundamentally sound, and be prepared because out the gate, you got to be ready to go with the opponents you have on down that schedule to all 12 games, starting with South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I was listening to Coach Tomlin talk a little bit, and he was talking about that, like, you know, hey, if you're gonna box in championship fights, you better spar, right? You know, and so he's talking about how he runs the most physical camps in probably all the NFL, and our camp's been pretty physical. Now I'm gonna get them ready to as we get closer to the games and all those sort of things, so that we're also fresh and ready to go. I think the NCAA rules help with that too, you know, no two-a-days and all that sort of stuff, but. Yeah, I mean, we've got to get physically ready. I mean, we have a challenging schedule. You know, we played 10 bowl teams from last year, and the two non-bowl teams we play are South Carolina and East Carolina, which are two pretty good football teams and with great coaches and great coaching staff. So, I mean, yeah, we've got a challenging schedule, so we better make sure that we're physically ready to play. And with that, we better be technically ready. Like, we better have great technique and all those sort of things. The schemes are important. Schemes are critical. But we better play with great technique because we know we're going to be playing, you know, just some very physical games really from the start to the beginning. Now, I do love that we have two byes. This is great. You know, I am in the opinion that I wish this would be something they would do in college football permanently. I think we should always have two byes. And everyone's like, well, it's going to extend the season. I mean, the 12-team playoffs got us playing into – late January anyway. Like what is the difference? Like, what are we talking about? That's not a big deal. But having the two byes is critical for player safety and those sort of things. So I do think that should be that for the foreseeable future.
And Coach, for you now, recruiting has become much more of speed dating, in my opinion, with the portal and the NIL. So how do you yourself vet a young man thoroughly to know that he really is loving the game of football, not trying to get it for money or jersey you wear or branding? It's really about football and love of team and love of his brother.
Yeah, I mean, it's instincts. You know what I mean? I mean, you, it's instincts. But the reality of it is you probably are going to – you're going to have to, I think it's the opposite. You're going to have to take some guys who are what you just talked about, right? Who maybe are more about the jerseys or the branding and all that sort of stuff. What you have to decide is that negative something you can't overcome, right? Is it too great of a negative? And I think that's the one thing that, you know, we got to understand, just like the, you know, there is no perfect university. Well, there's no perfect prospect. Right. And so you better be able to say to yourself, all right, can I overcome these negatives? You know what I mean? I mean, I tell my guys all the time, hey, listen, you're going to marry a wife. No wife is going to be perfect either. Right. I mean, I mean, my wife's darn close. Her fatal flaw is apparently lack of judge of character in people for, you know, who she marries. That's her fatal flaw. But other than that, she's pretty good. But there's always going to be something wrong with everybody. What is it? Let's find out if we can coach it or if we can deal with it, if we can teach it and that sort of thing. And then kind of go from there.
No doubt. Like you said, Coach, like it's really kind of trusting instincts, knowing what a young man's about. Like you said, weighing the negative, because it's this way, what it is. Like these guys are raised where me and you are raised. Because me and you got me by a few years, but not much. But so we grew up in a little different way than the guys are today. Is that their whole mindset different? You know, my dad will be 84 come the 27th of August. So I was raised old school way. So the way I think about the end of football and how I think about going about my business is different than these kids are today. So having to adjust to that and kind of meet them halfway, try to get the job done, get the same goal done, is a whole different ballgame now. Trying to walk that tightrope now.
Yeah, you hit a great point. You know, everybody always says, oh, the kids are different, the kids are different, the kids are different. That's not really reality, right? Like, the kids, the parents are different, right? We as adults are different. And that's the real difference. I mean, the kids are the same. I mean, kids in 1950, if you're going to let them get away with some stuff, are going to get away with it, right? You know, they're going to do what they can do. The kids are the same today. Now, you know, and it's like, well, are they tougher or not tougher? Okay, we have some better, we know some things, right? Like concussions and some things that, like, maybe, you know, maybe that's where some of that comes from. But I mean, these kids are bigger, faster, and stronger than we all were too, right? And they're running into each other and doing some things. So I do think the kids are essentially the same. I think it's the parents that have changed. And to me, and really the adults, I shouldn't say parents, the adults in general, right? And you know, just think about how media, right? Think about media, how different it used to be. It used to be in the media that you'd never question a coach, right? It would never question a coach ever. Like, no one questioned coaches. Now, no one questions the kids, right? They always question the coaches, right? So it's just a different, it's all different. And so sometimes I think that we get it mixed up, like, oh, the kids are really changing. They're pretty similar. It's just how we approach them that has changed so much too.
And Coach, know about the media, man. For me, I think I'm lucky because I actually played and my dad's a coach. So I know what not to ask a coach after a game, or I know that what not to say. Because Coach, what buzzed my mind? What were you thinking? And then I said, I was trying to make a play. I wasn't thinking about nothing but making a play. What you talking about? What were you thinking about that moment? I wasn't. I'm thinking about making a play, help a guy catches a ball. Like, the questions you want to get asked, man. It blows my mind, because if you played the way I played, had a coach as your father, you wouldn't ask the coach that question after a game or at a practice availability, because I'm like, what do you know? Also, the game of football, sports.
Well, what I've always found this is funny is the hindsight questions, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's like when something doesn't go, like, you only get some of these questions after it doesn't go well, right? Like, you yes. never get those questions when it goes right. Right. And that, just because the outcome doesn't necessarily make the decision right or wrong. Right. You know, and I always tell guys, like it's like, oh, well, yeah, it was a great decision because they got it on fourth down. It's like, no, that was still bad. They still should have punted. Or the opposite. Oh, they punted and then they got a three and out and then they got the ball back. That was a great decision. It's like, no, man, they should have gone for that. Like, you know what I mean? And I've made those decisions too. I've made decisions that I wish I could take back. But it's not because of the outcome. It's because of the decision I made, and the process that got me to that decision is why I want the thing back, not the outcome.
Yeah, that blows my mind, Coach. I sit back at some of these media availabilities, like, Lord, I know you did a sport in your life.
No question. No question.
You know, playing sport in your life, you know, I'm not going to say this name, but I'll tell you off air, a certain reporter in Nashville, because I went to Tennessee State, so it's a certain reporter in Nashville who's been there for years. I'm like, you still asking the same question you asked me when I played.
Yeah, just a standard question they're asking after every game.
I'm like, you ain't grown none since I played there. Like, come on, man. Like, so, yeah, man, Coach, it blows my mind. I'm thankful that I can talk to you all as a player and a son of a coach. So you want to get intimidated with such stupid questions that I
I hear you. It's funny. I would say this. Our media market's pretty good. They tend to, and I think it's partially because they know I'm going to tell them what I think, you know, and tell them the truth and that sort of thing. But yeah, our we do have a deep, we have a pretty good media market here. They're not really out to get me so much as they're just trying to get their fan base information, which I can, that makes sense to me. You know what I mean? And they appreciate if they, sometimes I'm just going to tell them, hey man, I'm not going to answer that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and they're like, okay, coach, no problem. So it's been good.
Because I want to have 4 points. I mean, you and I share that Nashville connection. What was like one of your favorite spots to eat at Nashville for you and you and your family, man, when you was there, man?
You know, I can't remember. Well, first of all, Pancake Pantry for breakfast. My son is a huge pancake guy. Yeah. Like, Pancake Pantry was like the best, which is crazy because at Pancake Pantry, I always got the French toast, which is bizarre, right? Like, so, but I did love Pancake Pantry. That place was always great. You know, everyone talks about the hot chicken there, which is great. It's grown a lot since then and all that sort of stuff. But I cannot remember the name of it. I was talking to somebody the other day, but we went to a Cajun place and it was like in this like house where like you even ate in the basement and all that sort of stuff. And it was some of the best food that I've ever had. I loved it, because I love that sort of food. But the thing I loved about that place was like all the like little like hot dog stands and like all those sort of things that were great too. Like they had great food there. Like, and I always tell people that like Nashville has unbelievable food, like just all over the place. But, you know, I liked those sort of things that they had there. And that was one of the things, you start to miss and when you're gone for a while. Now, what I don't miss, or at least what's gotten worse there, is the traffic. Good Lord. Now I know where you're at, the traffic is bad too. So don't get me wrong, but yeah, that Nashville was not built to be as big as it is.
Yeah, when I went to TSU's homecoming last year, coach, it was like, wow. It's, every time I come back to Nashville, it looks different and different and different every time I come back to TSU's homecoming.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, even from the part of, from when we left, you know, there was no rooftop bars when we left. And now that's all there, right? They're all that big and all that sort of stuff. So like that place has grown so much and it's kind of, at this point, I think it might be out of control.
Yeah. And see, this year I won't be going because the day you play Georgia State is TSU's homecoming, but the Hawks play that night too. So I'm going to be at your game in the afternoon, Hawks game that night, so I won't be going to TSU homecoming this year, but I got to do the double head of you play Georgia State and the Atlanta Hawks, so I got to go where the money is.
Yeah, no question. Well, hopefully the Hawks will start, playing some defense and doing some things because, you know, you got to love watching Trey play. I just, you know, don't always love the way he plays the pick and roll, but I do like the way he plays on the other side. So, you know, you want to keep watching him play and be successful there.
Yeah, man. I look, coach, I've not won in 6 years, man. We need to win. We need to win some more, man. Like, cause we got lucky. The COVID year, we got lucky. That was a lucky year, but we need to win for real, you know, and I won't see it happen again, man. You know, I've been a Hawks fan my whole life, coach, and seeing what's, from Dominique on, I've been a Hawks fan. I was a Hawks ball boy, too. So
there you go. Well, I will tell you this. Right now, I'm a big Falcons guy because Raheem Morris, he coached.
Coach Ra.
He coached at Cornell when I played there. And then when I went to Kansas State, I was a GA. I lived in Raheem's house. So he was the defensive coordinator at Kansas State. Scott Frost was the defensive GA. I was the offensive GA. And I'm a very big fan there. I mean, I know what type of coach he is, and I expect big things there.
When I go out there on Friday for media, I'm gonna make sure I tell him I had you on the show.
All right, do that.
Well, coach, man, it was fun to catch up with you. Good to see you again, man. Get to with you. I'm outside of Vanderbilt, man. Congrats on what you're doing. I'll see you Georgia State on the 12th, man.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.